Blog
than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that you are a survivor. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm coming to you with the Destined for Victory broadcast. And I am here to tell you that you are destined for victory. Life is sometimes challenging, but no matter what we're going through, what we have to remember is that God has a great plan for our lives, and with his plan, we win. As long as we stick with him, as long as we continue to abide in him and let his words abide in us, as long as we stay connected to the vine, the Bible says we can do anything, that nothing will be impossible for us. So we're going to go forward. I'm going to pray as we open up, and then I'm going to give some information on molestation and how to prevent it, and then we'll be going into a segment on the power of forgiveness. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name on today, O God. God, you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Thank you for this time that you're allowing us to be here on this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. Lord, I just ask that you will get the glory. I ask that you will save souls, change lives, set the captives free, O God, that you will heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. O God, give those who don't have ears to hear the ability to hear what you have to say to them through this broadcast. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for life and life more abundantly. I thank you for my testimony. I thank you, Lord, for this mission that you have given me to stop molestation and to speak life, encouragement, and exhortation into the lives of all who will come. So now tonight I ask that you have your way. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the broadcast on tonight. Destined for Victory is an organization that has a goal to stop molestation, and also to help those who have been hurt to get healing, and finally to motivate you into victory because you are destined for victory. So it's exciting to be able to come to you on tonight. I'm going to spend this first half an hour talking about some preventative measures to stop child molestation. Every week, I want to give you something preventative that you can take with you so that you can prevent another child from being molested. So many people may say, well, Pastor Rebecca, why are you doing this? Well, some of you know my testimony that I was molested as a child, and as a result of that, I did some things that I should not have done. I spent a lot of my time thinking that I had done something wrong, thinking that it was my fault, thinking that I was ugly, that I was dirty, that I was nasty. But God came in at a later time in my life and began to show me that I am not dirty, I'm not nasty, and I'm not guilty. It wasn't my fault. God showed me that he loved me, and I owe him so much. I know he says that I don't owe him anything, but I believe that I owe God so much, and I just want to give him my life and use my life to begin to pour into the lives of others so that other people can be set free from whatever it is that's trying to hinder them from moving forward. So I'm here for you. I'm here for each and every one of you that will tune in to the Destined for Victory broadcast. I'm here to speak life. I'm here to speak encouragement. I'm here to speak hope. I'm here to speak healing because I believe and I know that I am anointed to heal, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I am anointed to heal. So I just thank God for everybody being here on tonight. I just want to share, God bless you to everybody who's tuned in on the phone lines and to everybody who's in the chat room. God bless you, and it's just a blessing to have everybody here. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons with the Destined for Victory broadcast. I'm going to spend about 10 minutes talking about some preventative measures to stop child molestation, and then I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Tonight, I want to talk about the power of forgiveness, and right after that, I'm going to open up the phone line so that I can talk to you, you can talk to me, we can pray, you can give me your testimony, your praise report, you can ask me questions, whatever it is that's on your heart tonight, I'm going to open up the phone lines so that we can talk. So the first thing that you want to do is talk about the facts. We have to talk about the facts, and one thing that we have to realize is that the molesters who cause 95% of sex acts against children are driven by a sexual disorder called pedophilia. A pedophile, you've heard of pedophiles, they are driven by a desire, abnormal desire to have sexual interaction with children. And we have to get that out there to know that it is a disorder, it's a medical disorder. We can diagnose pedophilia pedophilia early during the teenage years so we can begin to deal with this early in life. And you have to realize that some pedophiles are not child molesters because they have never acted on their disorder. Some of them just are having urges. And, you know, with the news, with everything that's going on in the news, with Jerry Sandusky and the victims that are coming out against him, we have to realize that this man, if he's guilty, and again, I say if he's guilty, because everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but this man, if he's guilty, he is a pedophile, which means that he has had sexual desire towards children, primarily young boys, and he is also a child molester because he acted out on those urges. So do you get what I'm saying? The child molester... the child molester is a pedophile, but there are also three other categories of child molesters, and I'm going to talk to you about those three other categories. Those three categories are someone who has a medical or mental disorder. This person may be psychotic. This person may be mentally retarded. This person does not know better, and they go ahead and they molest a child. So that's another category of a child molester. Another category is children or teenagers who are curious about sex, and an older child may act out their curiosity using a younger child. So that's the third category. And again, the fourth category, I want to give you the fourth category because this is gory. The fourth category is the antisocial. This person is a psychopath. This person is psychotic. And this is the person that serial murderer who will often really, really hurt their victims. Amen. So there are four different types. There's the pedophile, the person who's medically impaired or mentally impaired, the teenager who's curious, and then you have the psychopath, the person who's antisocial and has no feelings or regards for other people, and they commit these horrific acts against others. So those are the four categories, and we have to know the four categories. And finally, we have to focus on the cause in order to start saving children. So we need to save children at the beginning. In other words, all of these four categories, they are able to be diagnosed and they are able to be healed, helped. Amen. There is recovery. In other words, just because somebody's a pedophile does not mean they have to stay a pedophile. Pedophilia can be diagnosed at an early age and it can be treated to the point where that person never has to go out and molest a child. So those are the four categories and the three steps. So the three steps are to begin talking about this thing, which I'm doing now. The second step is to save the greatest number of children at the beginning by recognizing the four categories and focusing on the cause, which is the third step. Focus on the cause and begin to treat the cause. Amen. So that is my bit on preventing sexual molestation, which I will be giving something every week. And now we're going to go into forgiveness. Amen. We're going to talk about forgiveness. But I have a caller, so I'm going to put my caller on the air. God bless you, Pastor Jones. Good to see you. Area code 323, you're on the air. Welcome to Destined for Victory.
That can't be me. It's your pastor, right?
Yes, you press 1, and
oh,
I put
God.
You in here.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Well, you know what, Cousin Becky? You know, I wasn't expecting to be the first call, but you know what? I will say this. You know, like something about, you know, I don't think it's quite that curable, as you say. I mean, these people have lifelong, you know, afflictions, and I'm not so sure that it's curable. I mean, it's treatable, but, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't know what to think about that because it's just like, you know, if I had kids, which I don't, but, you know, and I sent them to sports, you know, which is supposed to be the most productive thing in America, and then all of a sudden they're abused in that situation. That's kind of messed up, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But you know what I like about what you're saying is forgiveness. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, people have faults and stuff like that, and, you know, they're not necessarily unredeemable. But I think in this situation, it might be a far stretch to say that they're redeemable.
I agree somewhat with that, and I thank you so much for calling in and also for letting your voice be heard. That's what this broadcast is really about, that we began to talk about this, because for so long this was the family secret. This was the thing that was swept under the rug, and nobody wanted to talk about it. Here you sit now coming out in the church, and you have it coming out in sports with, you know, the Sandusky. And like you said, you send your kids to sports and you or church, And you expect them to be okay. And then the very person that's supposed to be the most trusted is the person that perpetrates a crime against your children. And it really would appease you. It would, I mean, I would be very upset if it happened to my kids. And I know you would be pretty upset.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's just, you know, the whole thing has kind of rocked me a little bit. And even though I didn't, you know, I don't have kids and sports programs and stuff like that, but it was just like, wow. You know, like, if you can't send your kids to sports, where can you send them to? You know?
Yes.
And
this person has a sickness. That's what I was saying. He has a sickness. And, you know, when I was reading the book today, I was reading the book, Stop Child Molestation, actually. And as I was reading the book, it enlightened me when I found out that this person is not just some pervert, as I would call him in the past, some pervert who's playing out his fantasies on kids, but this person actually has a sickness, a sexual disorder called pedophilia. He's a pedophile, and he has these sexual fantasies about children, and this person, if he's guilty, has gone a step further and actually played out these fantasies on children. You know, it's sick. Either way you look at it, it is sick. And according to these doctors, they say that it can be treated. They didn't say it can be cured. I'm sure he'll have to fight the urges all of the days of his life. But they say that if you catch it early, before you even do anything, like if you're a teenager and you find yourself fantasizing about a 2-year-old.
That got molested, like he got accused of being molesting a kid in Maine. Did you hear about that?
Wow. No.
Yeah, like one of his victims molested a kid in Maine. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, Jerry Penn, whatever his last name is, Pandusky, at his age, like, he should know better. Or, you know, people should know better. But, yeah, that guy, that the first, one of the first victims, yeah, he got, he's under arrest for, you know, molesting a kid himself. And he said it was because of this guy. Sandusky, okay. I don't think,
exactly,
you know, you can quite, you know, break it down like that, but, you know.
Well, they say that if you are molested, then chances are that you will be a molester. Just like they say if your parents are alcoholics, then you'll be an alcoholic of your parents.
Yeah.
It's a curse. It's a vicious cycle, and it's spiritual too. You have to think about that. It's spiritual that when negative things happen to you, it's something that happens to you spiritually, and only God is going to be able to break some of that stuff. You know, that's my take on it. I believe the doctors could say what they want, but I believe that only God, only Jesus is going to be able to stop us from doing some of the behaviors that we do. Because, you know, let me ask you like this, have you ever had an uncontrollable urge to do something that you knew was wrong?
Yes, I have. Yes, yeah, many times.
Yeah,
many times.
Like me. Like,
I've got
like
no remorse of them, but yeah, I still have them. You know.
Now, what do you do? Do you when you have these uncontrollable urges to do things, what do? Do you go ahead and do it, or do you stop yourself? Or do sometimes you feel powerless to stop yourself?
You're right about that, because sometimes I've felt powerless, but, you know, nothing over, you know, pedophilia, but still, you know, in other ways. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, on air to everybody who's listening, that you are a credit to the Christian community by having your train of thought, because it's very progressive. It's new. Like, not too many people are doing it. You know, a lot of people are condemning when they should be forgiving, and you're on the top of that list. So let me just say that.
Oh, okay? Thank you. Well, I want to stop. You know, I mean, my thing is, if I have to open my mouth and talk, exercise the gift of gab in order for people to pay attention so that we can stop it, then that's what I'm going to do. Because guess what? And I thank you for that. I love you. I love you, cuz. Thank you. But guess what? People think, this is what people think. People think that this could never happen to them. That this could never happen to them.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was saying. Like, I was like, oh, my God, if I had kids, which I don't, but I would want them to do something productive like sports, you know, like, and Penn State was like a prestigious, you know, from our neck of the woods in New Jersey, that's like this, you know, it used to be, at least, you know, the school to go to. So, like, it's just weird. I don't know what to think of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, or church, you want to send your kid to church, but it's documented. This is what it was documented. People think this could never happen to me. This could never happen to my kid. And then we think that the pedophile, we think that the molester is the stranger standing in the corner behind the tree with a raincoat on, ready to blast our kids.
Yeah.
He's
got a three-piece suit on, and he's on a playing field.
Exactly. According to the research that these doctors have done, the child molester looks just like you and me. They don't look
strange. It was a person familiar to the family. Yeah.
Go ahead. That's it. That's it. It's not the stranger. It's someone who has access to our children. It's someone who our children and we trust. We trust this person. And we would trust our kid to go across the world with this person. I mean, not to talk about the dead, but look at Michael Jackson, you know, and now he's scandalous.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, I'm not going to let my kid sleep with Michael Jackson, you know, and I'm not going to let my kid sleep with... you know, sleep with the pastor. I'm not going to let my kids sleep with the football coach. You know, these are things that we have to, we got to think. We got to put our, like you said, be progressive and not put our heads in the sand, but pay attention to what's going on and realize that your child molester, unfortunately, could be the child's father. Or the child's mother. It could be the baby.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody very close to the family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? I appreciate you giving me this time, and I'm sure you have some other callers in that want to weigh in on this. And we'll talk another time, okay?
Amen. Well, stay with me. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Amen. I'll put you on
mute. Okay, I love you, cuz. I'm surprised I even got the first call, but anyway. You know?
I love you. God bless you. Thanks for letting your voice be heard on this topic. Amen. Sherry Jones is in the chat room, and she says that one of the issues that we need to address is that we haven't heard testimonies or stories of people who have been delivered or healed of pedophilia. And she says that parents need to be educated on how and when to teach children about good and bad touch. And that is so true, Pastor Sherry Jones, because what we have to realize, and I did that on the first two episodes of Destined for Victory, I talked about good and bad touch, you know, and talking to your children. One thing we need to do is we need to teach our children. Let's say this. The pedophile strikes anywhere between the ages of 2 and 13, the child molester, not necessarily the pedophile, because if you were listening earlier, you heard that there are four categories of child molesters. That's the mentally retarded, or someone who's medically ill in their mind, where they can't fathom, they can't determine the difference between touching a child and touching an adult. So that's the person who's mentally disturbed. And then the second category are children, teenagers who are curious about sex. And the third category is the person who's psychotic. This person has no regard for other people's feelings, and this person will normally commit horrific crimes along with molestation. And the fourth category is the pedophile. The fourth category, the pedophile, commits the most cases of child molestation. And then, and also, a person could be a pedophile and not be a molester only because they have not acted on those impulses, those pedophilic impulses. So we need to be educated. We need to be informed about this. And we need to be talking about it. Sherry Jones says that we need to be educated. And she also says that she was about 5 years old when she was molested by her babysitter's grandson. And he was probably a teenager. The normal teenager child molester is about 5 years older than his or her victim. So it could be the babysitter, it could be a cousin, it could be a kid down the street. Normally they're about 5 years older than the victim. They have to be about 5 years older to be considered a molester. Other than that, it's just two kids experimenting. So she says that she was molested by her babysitter's grandson. And I am certain, Pastor Cherry, if you want to call in and testify, the phone lines are open. You can call in 646-652-4832. But I am certain that that was a traumatic experience for you, because it strips away the innocence of a child. You know, the child, these little boys that were going to this this program, again, if he's guilty, they were just as innocent as could be, and they probably looked at this man as the father figure that they did not have in their lives, and he ruined that. So I've given some statistics earlier about molestation, and Junior, my cousin called in, Thomas Junior, from California, and we were just talking about forgiveness, because one thing that we have to realize is that a lot of times when people have been molested, they carry guilt and shame with them, and it's very hard to forgive. A lot of the times, as Junior pointed out, people who have been molested become molesters, and the cycle repeats itself. But one thing that we have to realize, if we've been molested, is that we need to forgive. And as Pastor Sherry Jones said, I would love to see child molesters and pedophiles come and begin to testify about how God delivered them. Because Junior says that he doesn't think it's so easy for them to be cured. And I say it's going to take God. Only God will be able to heal them and deliver them from this evil. God can deliver us from evil, but you know, as far as the doctors and, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists and everything that they do, I don't know. I believe that this is a spirit, and we have to deal with it in such a manner. We have another call on the board, area code 267. You're on the air. Welcome to Destined for Victory broadcast.
Welcome. Thank you. This is Pastor Jones.
God bless you, Pastor Jones. How are you this evening? Thank you so much for tuning in.
I'm good.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Good.
What did you say?
Go ahead.
I was calling in just in reference to what I said about being molested at 5 years old. And what I remember is being told, don't tell anybody. That is
wow.
And I think, you know, even teaching a child good touch, bad touch, a child can tell. I could tell there was something wrong. That, you know, I could feel it. Because yes. just of the thing about it being a secret all of a sudden and being afraid whenever he was around, being, you know, being anxious and never wanting to be alone with him. I can remember all of those feelings.
Wow. Wow. You know, how old was he? You were 5. How old was he?
I don't know. And I think he it's possible he was a teenager. All I remember him is, you know, being, and this is a child's memory, so I remember him being taller and bigger than me.
So he may have been about 10, 11, 12, 13 or older.
Yeah.
But you know he was older. That's all you know, that he was older.
Yeah, all
you know, it's just,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that, like you say, even with teaching our children good touch and bad touch, you had you ever been taught that?
No, no. Not at that era. I'm talking about the 50s.
Oh, Lord. Well, no, we weren't talking about anything close to this in the 50s. But you knew, but you were saying that you knew, inside you knew that mm-hmm. something was going on that shouldn't be going on.
Well, when the child was given that it's a secret, then the child feels like they did something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like
and
I
did you ever
wrong.
Tell?
That's why it had to be a secret.
Did you ever tell anyone?
Not for years. And that was only in counseling. Years.
How did this impact you? I mean, as you were growing up,
That wasn't the only time. I was 12 years old. We were living in an apartment on the second floor, and this guy would catch me every time I came in from school. And
yeah.
I remember, I mean, some of these things are, I remember hating what was happening, didn't tell anybody, but I had a desire that this man just had to die.
My goodness.
That was the only way I was going to get out of this. But at 12, you're in puberty. So,
yeah.
You know some of my other the other part of my story is that I ended up in homosexuality.
Yes, yes.
What God has healed and delivered me from was homosexuality, and a lot had to do with what was started and planted because of the molestation.
So you believe that the molestation took you on a road that you probably wouldn't have been on had it not happened.
Right.
Wow.
And just a hatred of encountering men at any level.
Yeah. So basically, and you know that is a powerful testimony right there, because a lot of people would not even go as far as to give a testimony. You know, like here you were molested at 5. And then you were molested again at 12, just before, as you were in puberty, and you just had a hatred. You wanted this man dead. You wanted this young man dead. And and you had a hatred. There was a hatred in your heart now that went towards all men, that went towards
right.
all men and led you into a life of homosexuality, and the Lord delivered you from that. But there had to be a lot of healing to take place. And I've read your testimony. You have a powerful testimony, and I'm waiting for that book to come out.
You wait for that book too.
I just thought that just came up in my spirit. I'm waiting for that book. I'm waiting for that book because so many people need to read and hear your testimony, because so much is going on. And I read the testimony, and it's a powerful testimony about how the Lord delivered you. And I did not know. I knew about the homosexuality, but I did not know that the Lord had delivered you from having been molested, or unless I skipped over that part. But
I revised it some, so I think it's in the revision. I really decided to go into some details, because what it did for me besides the homosexuality, was to set me on a road of perversion and seeking the same stroking, the same feelings, the same sensations, and sexual needs that was implanted in me. Do you understand what
yeah.
I'm saying?
I do.
And so the healing had to be real deep. It wasn't the homosexuality and just that. That was a symptom, an outcome of all of the things that had gone on inside of me. And when you say it's a spirit, that's what I believe it is. It is a spirit, and at a certain point, particularly if you are a teenager or a preteen, you because of what's going on inside of you physiologically, you get turned on to something that you didn't desire and shouldn't have been at that time. And so perversion is set in. And so you have to be delivered from the perversion. You have to be delivered from that spirit that would keep you in perversion.
And
that's why some people, even those who are in homosexuality, sometimes, just like an addict, will slip back into that because you go back looking for the same stroking that you received in the perversion.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something, it's crazy, you know, and that's where I think the guilt and the shame comes in, because you almost get to the point where you enjoy it, you know,
right.
And it's crazy.
You said just what I needed to say, that you enjoy it.
Mm.
You get to a place that you enjoy it. That's when you begin to take on the perversion for yourself.
Wow.
And
that's where the deliverance needs to come in.
It has to come in. And for me, you know, people walked alongside me through the healing. And you know, if you don't have a community of faith that will do that for you, you won't hear the testimonies much.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to get that community of faith? Because we have a hard time with this in the church. You know, we have a hard time with
anything that says anything about sexuality.
Hmm?
We have a hard time with anything that has to do with sexuality.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, we do. I mean, but God deals with it in the Bible. God deals with sex in the Bible. He deals with sexual perversion in the Bible. And we just skip over that. And Sunday after Sunday, it just seems like the last text somebody's a preacher wants to pull out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I thank God for your testimony. And, you know, for me, doing this broadcast, this Destined for Victory broadcast, it came as a result of God wanting me to do something, to speak out, to stop molestation. And the only way we're going to stop it is to break the silence and to become educated about it.
That's it. So
and you know, I was reading from, like, clinical book with some MDs and a PhD. They wrote this book together. I was reading from my clinical book. But as much as we could go with from the clinical point of view, there's nothing that we can do unless we tap into the spiritual point of view.
Yes. We have to have a balanced perspective, and that's the spiritual, the physiological, you know, the emotional piece, all of that. And I see now that even the medical field and the mental health field are looking to the church to give that spiritual balance part, because they don't have it.
Yes, absolutely, which is why I want to, and I'm going to take this all the way. I really want to even have a center where people could come and have someone to talk to about this, because even me, Pastor Jones, even as I'm going forward with this, are you working on your doctorate? Are you in school?
I'm applying to work on my doctorate. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just putting in an application to a couple of
people. Okay, because I almost called you Dr. Jones, isn't it? Okay, I'm getting ready to call this lady Dr. Jones. I said, okay, so you're getting ready to go back to school.
That.
Huh? Hey, man, holla. Hallelujah. I saw that thing just so clearly. You know, Dr. Jones, so you're on your way back to school.
All the way back to school. And I teach at a program called Center for Urban Theological Studies in Philadelphia. And, I just need to have my doctor to, just to be more supportive in what that program's trying to do. So,
Amen. And we need this. You know, we need these type of programs and programs like that so that we can – We got to talk about it. You know, like I was telling Junior, my cousin, he called in from California, and I was telling him, we have to stop believing the lie. Satan is a liar. The devil is a liar. The truth is not in him. And we have to stop believing the lie that this is so far removed from our homes. I mean, I declare that it won't happen to my children. I declare that.
Amen.
But at the same time, I need to be educated. I need to be aware. I need to be alert. I need to know what circumstances not to leave my child in. You know, there's just certain circumstances that we just have to be diligent about. And there's some things you just have to be able to talk to your child. Now, listen to this. You testified about the guy who caught you coming in from school.
Uh-huh.
Now, this was a neighborhood, obviously an older kid in the neighborhood. Or was it
the guy that taught me coming in from school was an old man.
Was an old man.
Was an old, I'm an older man who lived on the first floor in the apartment on the first floor of the lady we were renting from.
My God.
And so he would wait for me.
Right, so he knew you. He knew that when you would be coming in, he knew your, you know, your routine, your schedule.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he was waiting.
He was waiting.
I think. See, that's what I'm saying. God bless you to everybody in the chat room and everybody on the phone line. That's what I'm saying. These people are not strangers. They know us. They know our children. They're watching. How could that? Now, here I'm talking about preventing child molestation. How could something like that have been prevented?
I don't know. Looking back, I don't know. All I know is the fear and the shame placed on the child. And at 12, I'm still a child. I don't care what anybody. At 12, I was still a child. Not to tell, as if the child is doing something wrong. It's so heavy that, I mean, it has to come in the early years that you've built up a relationship with a child that they can tell you anything.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Having a good relationship with your child, a good open line of communication, trust, where the child knows that you're not going to freak out, that they can tell you anything. So that even though they did, you had to suffer this traumatic experience, had there been an adult that you could trust, they could have helped you deal with that. Because in our young minds, you know, that's something similar happened to me. The guy was 19, I think I was 12, and he would catch me every day coming in from school. It was more than once. He would twist my arm, he would kiss me, he would, grab on me until one day, and I never said anything because I liked the attention. My, you know, daddy wasn't around. I felt ugly, no self-esteem, had already been molested. And he would, you know, play around with me until one day he just took it all the way, you know. And I didn't know at the time that I had been molested. I thought I had gave something to him, but I said no. I said no. So God brought it back to my remembrance. No, girl, this guy practiced, he just took it, you know. So basically, but I had to deal with, like you said, that the word, what we call looking for love in all the wrong places.
The wrong place.
But we were looking for more than love. We were looking for something similar to whatever that sick thing was, that perverted thing was that we gained from our molestation. It was a spiritual impartation that was passed on to us through the very act of interacting with us. It's crazy. This thing is demonic. It's a stronghold in our family that has to be broken.
Yes, and it's time. I mean, you used the word about silent no more, and it's It's the title of a book I know. It's Silent No More, just not to be silent. We have to break the silence and tell people how to see the signs in their children, if it's happened already, what to look for when they're acting out and some things are going on and you're wondering what's wrong with the child. To really keep an open communication with children. My sister-in-law said something to me one day. She says, my daughter will tell me everything, and sometimes I don't want to know everything. No, you want to know everything.
I know. But we have to listen. My daughter talks to me, and I just pray that she'll be able to continually talk to me and tell me anything, good or bad, or complicated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but thank you so much for calling. I mean, to God be the glory.
Welcome.
Now, did you go through the whole thing with the drinking and all of that other type of behavior?
Yeah. I've been in recovery for years. I mean, I went through the whole thing because, see, when the addiction comes in, see, what the addiction does is this: you keep drinking and drugging, not the feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy because you're seeking a feeling, but then you want to numb everything and you don't want to feel anything. I think you want to put a cloud over the mental anguish. You know, you don't want to feel anything mentally, but then you want to be stimulated physically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I went through that. I know what that's about. I wanted to just cover everything up. I wanted to block everything out. I didn't want to think about my life. And the more I blocked everything out, the worse my life got.
Right.
You know, it just got worse
so
and
long.
Worse.
It's going to come out sideways and crazy.
Yeah.
Anger.
Yeah.
Anxiety, you know, all of those. Depression.
Yeah.
So we have
to break. I didn't realize.
We have to talk.
Yeah, and so for those some of you listening, you've gone through this. If you never said anything to anybody, the first part of your healing, I know Pastor Sherry Jones will agree with me, is to break the silence. You know, just tell somebody. Just do what we're doing, you know, talking about it. You might say, well, they talk about it so easily. But we had to get here. It took a long time before I was able to get to the point where I could just talk about what had happened to me without crying, without breaking down crying.
Right.
So, but God healed me, and that was a part of the healing process. I remember asking the psychologist, if it hurts, does that mean, if it still hurts, does that mean that I haven't forgiven? And she said, no, it just means that you may have forgiven, but God is healing you. God is healing your heart.
Right.
You know,
right.
And sometimes we have to open up our hearts in order to let God heal us. And even on forgiveness, because we were, God took this in a different way. I was going to talk through a teaching on forgiveness, but this is even better than a teaching because it's real life. But even with forgiveness, you can't begin to heal until you forgive.
Yeah.
You know,
and sometimes it's forgiving in stages. I can forgive on this surface level. And then it gets deeper, and I can forgive on that level. I know for me, it's when the pictures stop coming, or if they even come up, there's no feeling to them.
Then you knew that you were healed.
I know that I've gone through a process of healing that only God could do. And this is where I see the enemy in it, because I believe we do go through our memories and flashes of pictures come along, but I think I believe the enemy plays with things in our minds, gives us suggestions, you know, and it's just like a temptation. I don't play it out. I don't run it over through my head. I don't entertain it. Okay, that happened, but that was long ago, and God has delivered me. God has healed me. I have forgiven that person. I've forgiven those persons. You know, and I'm all right now because I'm working on not only trusting God, I'm working on trusting people, and I'm working on trusting other people. But one of the things that God also builds in is that you got a warning system. There's a warning system built on the inside of you when you know the people you can't open up to.
Wow. Go ahead and talk about that.
What I mean is that there are people that will come along and you may be tested that are no good for you. But as you have gone through the healing process and you begin to learn how to trust again because you are forgiven, that you get a warning of people that are not good for you. They're just not going to be helpful to you. They're actually there to destroy you. And you know to step away from that person. That's not somebody you open up to, let your heart out to. That's somebody you keep at a distance.
Yeah, because you can't share your story, especially when you're in the beginning stages or even in the middle stages of being healed. You have to know, have to be able to discern. That's what you're talking about, that warning system. God has given us discernment. You have to be able to discern who you can tell and who you can trust with that intimate part of yourself, because that's still a part of you until God totally takes it away from you. It's still a part of you. The scab is like a scab. You know, if you take a natural scab off, it's going to hurt. But you got to gently wait until the healing takes place so the scab now can begin to work itself off and it's no longer a part of you anymore. Once it's healed and that scab comes off, that's it. It's gone. You can use it for testimony, use it to help others, but it can't hurt you anymore. But as long as you have that scab and that wound having healed, you have to be careful. I agree with that.
Say it again.
I agree with that. I wanted to address Kimmy Poo in the chat room. She said she didn't understand that statement, and then she said, okay, thank you. So she got understanding. But Kimmy Poo gave a testimony in the chat room here. She talked about working with children about good touch and bad touch, and she said it's amazing how much those children knew. Like you said, Pastor Sherry Jones, that children do know. They know when something's not right because that's still there. But we can help our children clear the confusion by talking to them. And then she said something about we can start by loving our children and we can tell them that we are there. And she knew two children who were molested by their mother from the time they were one. And the older one finally ran away with the baby sister. And they lived on the street from age 10 to 21. And this is why we're here, Sydney, because she said these babies trusted no one. And this is why we're here, because we want to stop this. I truly believe that if we stop it with our own children, the children in our neighborhoods, the children that we interact with in our churches, you know, I believe we can start the cycle to break the cycle to stop molestation. Now, it may be way far-fetched, but I believe that. And that's why we're here. And Kimmy Poo also testified that she was molested at age 9 and never told anyone. And that her relationship suffered as a result and she didn't trust anyone. It was, you know, a family member, and she's working on it. And she has yet to tell her mother. She says that God has been keeping her safe. And it's her goal to help those who have been through the same thing. And she tries to make it a point to protect children. Amen. Okay. Thank you for sharing your testimony, my sister. That's the beginning of the breakthrough right there, to share. Pastor Jones?
Yes, it is. It is. To get it out. Not to stay silent, because that's how the pedophiles, that's how the perpetrators stay, continue. I mean, you talked about it, Sadusky. I mean, that's how he stayed all those years, because people hid him, covered him.
And you know what, when we don't tell, even when we don't tell, it leaves room for him to go do it again, or them to go and do it again. That's what you're saying.
Right.
Do you know that the average pedophile, or not even pedophile, child molester, if it's a pedophile, the average pedophile will molest at an average of 112 kids, 112 babies.
Wow.
Children, between the ages of 5 and 13, the average pedophile will molest over 100 kids. That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids. You know,
who will grow up to be messed up adults, you know, and never get the help that they need. And Kimmy, you could call in if you want to. We want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Kimmy Poole, I see God is healing you. God is healing you. The pain is intense and it hurts. Even when the person dies, it hurts.
Yeah.
And she said she believed that she was protecting her mother by not
telling. Yeah, I understand
that.
I understand that totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm there. I wasn't telling. You know,
I told her that. I said, I think I'm just protecting my mother. And she says, why? why are you doing it? And I looked at her like she was crazy because it would hurt her. It would do this. It would do that. And so she said, you can't speak for what your mother would feel.
Wow. Wow. You know, I have a different testimony. My mother, my sister was molested, and she told my mother, and my mother was so hurt by that. And I watched it. I was only 10, and it was like watching something on TV. And I watched it, and I was so, I didn't want to hurt mommy anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, okay,
right.
I tell
right.
Yep. So I can relate. I totally can relate to that. You know, you don't want to hurt. But sometimes hurt me. I say to my children, tell me, even if you think it's going to hurt me. That's something. Thank you. Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you, Pastor Joe. That's what we need to tell people. Tell your children, even if you think something's going to hurt me, still tell me. Tell me anyhow, because I want to. More than anything, I want you to be okay. And we need to tell our kids that, because at 10, if I had known that, I think I would have told the mommy if I felt like she wouldn't die, you know, if I felt like it wouldn't break her heart. Because the molester will tell you, you know, this is going to break your mother's heart. You know, if your mother knew what you were doing, trying to make you feel like you're guilty, then it would break her heart. And we have to get out from under that guilt. I want every woman, every man listening right now to just get out from under the guilt. You don't have to carry the guilt of what happened. You know, the molester will put words in your ears like, it's your fault. You made, see what you made me do. You were asking for this.
You were asking.
You know.
Yeah.
You were running around, prancing around here in them shorts. You know, stupid.
Yeah. You were being a tease.
Yeah, being a tease. And you did nothing. You did nothing. And that's what we want you to know today, Kimmy. You carried that guilt, but God is saying today, you can release it today. Because the guilt doesn't belong to you. You didn't do anything. Now, what we have to realize is that we do a lot of stuff as a result of being molested. And Pastor Joe talked about that, and I talked about that. You know, we go out and we do stuff, looking for love, being with the wrong men, being the wrong women, drinking, drugging, what else? Just all kinds of perversions.
Just being self-destructive.
Yeah. Being self-destructive, and those things we need to repent for. We need to, you know, we're guilty in that case. But when you're a Christian, all of that goes into the sea of forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you receive forgiveness from God for your sins, then all of your sins went into the sea of forgetfulness. So you can say now, today, because I believe in Jesus, because I am a Christian, because I've repented of my sins, all of that stuff that I've done has been forgiven. And you know what? A lot of times we have a problem forgiving ourselves.
That's a major part. of the forgiveness process, of forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
Because part of the guilt piece is blame. It was my fault. It was my fault. I mean, and as Kimmy Flew said, I mean, for 42 years carrying the guilt. I mean, for 42 years, you know, and I don't know how many years I carried it, but the word that kept coming, a part of the guilt and the blame was, it's my fault, it's my fault. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is not your fault. You did not bring it on you. Now, that the perpetrator, it was all his or her doing and her crime against you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yes. Letting go of that guilt and that blame and the words, it was me, it was my fault, I did it. If I wasn't there, you know, if I didn't come in the room at the time, if I didn't walk in the house at the time, if I wasn't, in the bed at that time, you know, it was my fault, and that's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah, a lie. That's a lie. And you know, the fact that even your cousin that was in the bed and didn't help you, that question's been haunting you for so long. Like, why didn't she help? She probably was scared of and so many reasons. We don't even know why people, or maybe she had been already molested by this person.
Maybe he had grabbed her some other time.
Yeah. And she didn't know what to do because she was a child too. And that's what we have to remember. Here we are, children, being forced into grown-up situations. And these are not normal grown-up situations. These are grown-up situations that shouldn't even be taking place. You know, so.
Right.
Dr. Jones, what did you say? I'm Pastor Jones. I'm calling you Dr. Pastor Jones,
I was just agreeing with you. I really was. We've been placed in this unnatural situation, not of our choice or doing. The trust was broken between us and someone else and other people after that. We have to be restored. And that's what Jesus Christ is about, restoring us. We've been sinned against, and God wants to restore us. Our innocence taken away from us, our childhood was taken away from us. He wants to restore us. One of the things that I, just picking up, knowing I needed healing, I would pick up some books, and one of them was a book on inner healing. And the woman would talk about having people to take Jesus back into that moment where they were traumatized, where they were molested, and let Jesus walk through those memories with you. And see Jesus stop that situation, to come in between you, you know, to just come in and hold you and take away everything that moment did to you. Because that's what it is. There are whole books now on what trauma children have gone through. And that kind of trauma is like a jolt. It's like, you know, being scared, in your heart beating. And all of those things that are going on. And anxiety is placed in you and all. And so Jesus comes in and he steps into that situation, and his light comes on that situation, and he takes you away, you know, out of that. And that's a part of the healing. He's going to restore everything that the enemy stole from you.
Yes. Yes, God, he's a restorer. And that's what you have to know, Kimmy, on today,
right.
That God is restoring you tonight, and it's supernatural. You know, the Lord sent you here even on tonight so that you could hear us, two women, you know, who have been molested, talk about our experiences and how we've dealt with that pain. I mean, it was just excruciating. I was saying earlier that as long as I had my drinks, as long as I had my drugs, as long as I had the relationships with the different men, I was functionable. You know, I was not good, but I was functional. I was okay. Nobody could really look at me and see that this thing had happened to me. So I was covering things up very well. But when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus, and really the Holy Spirit began to hearken to me that I didn't need the drugs and I didn't need the alcohol. And these are desires that I pretty much didn't even ask God to take away from me. I didn't make a conscious effort of that. I just one day decided I didn't want to do it anymore. First the marijuana, then the cocaine, then the liquor. Mm-hmm. And when I put the liquor down, which was the final thing, and my head began to clear, oh, Lord, I tell you, it was like, I don't know, you talk about a jolt. It was like reality came crashing in, and all of a sudden these things that I had clouded up with the smoke and the liquor and the drugs and the men, now this stuff came to the forefront of my mind, and I can think clearly now. And now I'm married at this point and stuck with one man for the rest of my life. And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? I have to face reality. And God just spoke so clearly, daughter, I need you to face this so that I can fix it.
Yeah,
and that's what
yeah.
God is saying, my God, that we need to face this so that he can fix it. If we give it to him and trust in him in prayer, and that's the way we do it, in prayer, just give it to God, say, God, take this away from me, take away the pain. And sometimes people have to pray for you. And then until you get to a point
pray
where you can pray for yourself. Yeah, pray you through. That's what you were talking about earlier, right?
Right, pray you through. And then, and the other thing is I was saying to you that was most important in my healing was that older women came alongside of me and walked me through a process. You understand what I'm saying? That, you know, they became the mothers, and then also some men in my life. I have a spiritual father now, and he knows my whole story. He knows all about me. And, you know, these people walk with you through your life, through your hurts, through your pain, and they hear everything. Like Kimmy is talking about all that she feels and all of the things that she, you know, not trusting men and all of those things and the guilt and all of that. And I have people in my life, and I've had people in my life for the last 20 years who I can say anything to without judgment, and they walk me through the healing process of whatever I've gone through.
Yes.
Now, I've been through the depression, Kimmy. I was in the hospital for a whole month with depression in 95, 96, twice in the hospital. For depression, I understand that. I couldn't even spell the. I was so bad. So I understand how great the depression is. I understand that pain. It's something you can't even scratch. But I tell you what got me out. I have the YouTube. What got me out was praise. What got me out was worship. It got my eyes off of what I was feeling and put my eyes on the Lord. And I praised and worshiped Him. If I had to do that in my house several times, I did it. But that got me out of the depression. And was I on medication? Yes, I was. But what got me out of the depression was worship.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I praise God and I worshiped Him with everything in me. And that there was a breakthrough in my praise. There was a breakthrough. People say it, and it's so cliche-ish. But there truly was a breakthrough in the times when I could get into His presence, and whether it was a shout or me having my hands raised in awe and worship, either way, there was something about being in that praise and that worship that put me in the smack dead in the presence of the Lord, right in the center of His presence, and the anointing. I believe, and this might sound crazy to some folk, but I believe that when you're in His presence, that anointing is released that will destroy every yoke. The Bible says that times of refreshing are to be found in the presence of the Lord. That's why it's so important for us to participate. Don't just go to church and not participate. No matter what, the music might be off and you might not like the song, but make it your business, even in and out of church, to take some time to get into worship, to pray and to get into his presence and let God come in and wash you and heal you and cleanse you. That's powerful, Pastor Cherry Jones, that we need to, that worship, like you said, to take the medicine if you must.
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy, take your medication, worship. Worship. And I put on my Facebook yesterday, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir was the choir that I played over and over again. Someone told me, get Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I played them over and over again. And I said on my Facebook yesterday, when I was in the darkest pit, this choir healed me. God used that choir to heal me. And the worship was very important. But the other piece I really want to go back to is the need for older saints, or maybe somebody just a little longer in the Lord than you, maybe not so chronologically, but more mature in the Lord than you, who will walk with you through your healing and see you through to your deliverance. That is extremely important to have that kind of relationship.
She desires that to be healed. Kimmy desires to be healed. And it looks like she had an incident. Kimmy, you can call in if you like. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. But our sister is saying that she desires to be healed. And it looks like she had an experience with a minister in the church.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were talking about earlier, that we think we can trust the people in the church. And she looks like she must have still been a child at this time because she was molested by a minister in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we in the church, I'm just going to say this to the church, we the church need to get it together. You know, we need to recognize, that's why I always say, that we need to recognize our own sins.
We got to deal
with our own sins. We need to let God deal with our sins. Because once you're in ministry, you're caught up. I mean, you're in there. You got this. You're in there. But if you have something like a sexual deviation, where you're a pedophile, especially if you're a pedophile. My God, let the Lord work out your healing. I don't know, Pastor Jones, I don't know if you agree or not, but we need to be healed before we start praying for people and laying hands on people.
You're talking about let's deal with the sins in the church, and I was listening to an old tape, and the whole idea is of putting people in leadership position where you know their lives are not in line with Scripture. But because they're available, you put them in the position. You got to stop.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. You know, that's something.
You know their lives are not in line, and you put them in the position only because they're available.
That's it. That's it. Cynthia Robinson said, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Shame the devil.
That's the truth, though. You got two men in the church and no deacons. You're looking for a deacon. And you go ahead and put that man in leadership, and then he becomes a deacon. There are a lot of preaching deacons, minister of the gospel, maybe even going on to pastoring, but never dealt with that lust demon, never dealt with those urges to have sex with kids, never dealt with that drinking demon, you know, that alcohol, that them drugs.
Right.
Never got
right.
delivered. But it has been elevated in the church. And people get mad at me. You know, people get mad at me when I talk like this. But, you know, I'm not perfect. But I can tell you I'm no child molester. And, You know, I'm no adulteress. You know, I strive every day to walk worthy of the call of
Amen.
God that's on my life. I put myself under the blood, and that's what we need to do. We need to put ourselves as leaders, put ourselves under the blood, and challenge ourselves to live right, to be holy.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. And if
well,
I can't.
We're back at hearing that word more and more now. To live holy.
To live holy. Yeah. Yeah. God wants us to be holy. And the woman of God, I know Kimmy, she's came to the broadcast before, and she
mm-hmm.
has a heart for God. She truly has a heart for God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's given her gift. You know, he gave the ascension mm-hmm. gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. You know, he's given her the gift of the prophet, you know. And she's the Lord speaks to her. But I want to
mm-hmm.
say to you today, Kimmy, God wants you healed. And do like Pastor Sherry Jones was saying, you know, if you need me to help you, I mean, I'm in New Jersey. As much as possible, I'm there. But see if you can get someone that you trust around you that can walk you through, that can walk you through total deliverance, because God wants you totally healed. God doesn't want you partway healed. He wants you totally healed. God, he says he knows the plans he has for us, the thoughts he thinks towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, thoughts that bring us to an expected end. And God wants us to be totally healed, not messed up, yoked up. I mean, I was saved 7 years and still cursing my husband out because I was mad at my molester. I was mad at the person who touched me. I didn't have forgiveness in my heart. I kept saying I forgave, but it was a process. And God had to get me to the point where I was totally able to relinquish the anger and the hurt to him. And then I was able to allow him to change my behavior. God wants to give you a new heart. God wants to give us a new heart. The old will truly be passed away and the new can come into fruition. He doesn't want to put new wine into old wineskins. He wants us to totally... And this is everybody, you know, whether you've been molested or not. God wants all of us to be whole. He told the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. You know, he told the woman in adultery, go and sin no more. You know, we have to, God wants us whole, but he wants us to be sin free. And people don't
Amen.
Want to talk about sin. You know, but I appreciate you, Pastor Sherry Jones, that you actually came up and then we have another caller. Stay with me. Amen. Area code
okay.
908, welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast. You're on the air.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca. This is Evangelist Cynthia. How are you?
Oh, God bless you, Evangelist. Yes, I'm well. Thank you for calling in tonight. Go ahead and
I had to call in tonight. This is my challenge for my life is to forgive. I was not molested by my father, but my sister was. My father molested my sister from the age of 5 till she was 10, and then tried to do it again when she was about 13 years old. My sister ran away from home. When she finally came back home, we never knew until my sister came back home that my father had been molesting her for such a long time. My sister never learned how to let go. She slipped into using drugs, getting involved with the wrong people, being abused up until her untimely death this year. And I had to learn to forgive my father. I had to learn to forgive myself. I had to learn to forgive my mother. I had to learn to forgive my family that did not believe that he had done that to my sister. It is not, I think a lot of people think that when someone's molested in a family that it just affects the two people, the molester and the person that was molested, but it affects the whole family. And it's a sin that seems to continue. We found out later that my father had been molested by one of his uncles and that the uncle who molested my father was molested. So it was just this embedded sin within within our family. And I just thank God that we have survived. Her children are doing well. And we are dealing with it, because I don't think it's something that just goes away, as a lot of people like to believe, oh, it just goes away. It doesn't just go away, but we have to learn to forgive people who do things to us. And my father molested my sister at such a young age, at 5, and having to look at this man and the shame that came about it, because when it came out, it just really blew up in the family. It was such an embarrassing thing, and how people just accused my sister of lying, it just hurt me, my mother, and my sister, because it was his family that was accusing my sister of lying. It just hurt her to her core, and I could not imagine that somebody would think that a child would lie on their parent that way. And there was just a lot of forgiveness that has to take place. So I feel for every young lady, every young man that has ever been touched in that way, and how painful it has got to be. And you're trying to get through that and heal through that, whether it's through alcohol, through sex, through cutting. Young people are cutting themselves now. In any way other than turning to God, I know it's got to be a very painful experience. And I'm just praying that the church wake up, because it happens in the church and it happens out of the church. And we can't just keep saying that old saying, oh, let me pray for you and send them home. We have to find a way to help them get healed.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's why it's so important even for us as pastors to have degrees in psychology. You know, we have to be able to help the people psychologically as well as spiritually. And God covers it all, but we got to know how to talk about this. You have to at least be open to talk about it, because if we're that's what they've done in the family. They sweep it under the rug, the embarrassment, the shame, the devastation, the denial, and it's swept under the rug. And that person that it happened to, and maybe the few that know about it, they are left to suffer through this thing alone. And everybody's suffering in their own corner instead of coming together to try to work things out. And that's what we have to do. We have to come together and work it out, whether it happens in the family, at home, or the family at church. Pastors, there are people in church, kids in church that are being molested, and no one's doing anything about it. You could pretty much see something's going on with that kid, but you don't really want to get involved. So it's a huge pink elephant in the room to tackle, but it has to be tackled. It really has to be tackled. We can no longer hide in the corner. We can no longer suffer in silence. We have to do something. And you know, when the Lord put it on my heart to do something, this is what I've done. I started out just opening things up, talking about it, and just seeing what God is going to do. I'm trusting God with this, Evangelist Cynthia and Pastor Sherry Jones, just trusting God that he knows better than I do, because I'm just here. And I am back in school to get that degree in psychology, because I believe that we can couple it. You know, that we could couple it and begin to use everything that every resource that we have to stop this animal, to stop molestation, to stop this demon. So, and my condolences go to you for your on the behalf of your sister. I know that that's not easy. Your story is very similar to mine. My sister, again, was molested, never dealt with it. She did get saved, but never was able to put down the drugs. And she passed away in 2007. It broke my heart when she left this earth. She was I was her pastor. And it really broke my heart, because I believed that God could deliver her. And I believe that he did deliver her. It's just that I didn't expect her to leave me, to leave the earth so soon after after she was delivered. So it's tough. It's hard. It's difficult. And forgiveness is a process. I want to say that you can forgive, and then you're going to have to forgive again, and then you're going to have to forgive again. Jesus says 7 times 70 that we have to forgive, and we have to continually forgive the people who have hurt us, even those people who hurt us inadvertently, because even though you were not molested, you are a victim as well, because this happened in your home, in your family, and your whole world came crumbling down, I'm sure, when this news hit when it came out, when everything hit the fan. So, I just thank God for you sharing your testimony on today, and again, for encouraging people to forgive, and even for you being transparent and saying that you have to continually forgive. So thank you for calling in and just sharing your heart. I believe there's healing in talking it out too.
Amen.
You know, having somebody to talk to.
Yeah. It makes a difference when you have somebody to talk to. I don't know how many times I've gone places and we'll start talking about something else, and then somehow, some way, we get on child molestation, and you can actually just, they don't even have to start crying. You can look at the faces, and you can see all the women sitting in that room that have been touched by this and have never talked about it. It is a shame that's swept up under the rug, like you said, and it's something that everybody knows. Uncle such and such touches everybody's little girl, so you keep your girls away from him, but we don't say he needs to stop, and the family doesn't address the issue. And then if you go to church, I know a deacon who used to be at the church, and nobody said anything until the little boy actually went to the police, even though they knew he was doing this to this little boy. So we have to stop, because Satan is just running rampant, and especially within the church, running rampant, and we're just sitting there and just going, well, if nobody knows about it, or if I'm the only person that knows about it, I'm not going to say anything. And the children are being affected, because it just doesn't stop with the one person.
Wow.
It continues.
Jesus, see, that's it. Say that again.
It doesn't stop with the one person. It continues. My father, when I found out my father's legacy, the family, it was like, oh, my gosh, how far does this go back? You know, how many other, it seemed like it was passed down from generation to generation to generation. And we have to stop this. I love the book of Joshua. I just feel this way. They're sitting in the camp. And God is not going to continue to allow us to keep going. He wants us to get the sin out of the camp. We got to get it out.
Yes, yes, and out of the, one thing that you would think that this would not happen in the church, but look at the Catholic Church, and look at all of those little boys, all of the little boys that were molested in the Catholic Church, and then they blamed it on the fact that the priests were not able to get married, but they were molesting little boys and not little girls. Then they said, well, the little boys were more accessible because they were altar boys. Okay, but no, these were pedophiles. These were people who knew that they had a sexual desire for children, and they positioned themselves in a place where they would have access to these children. And that's what we have to realize. A pedophile will always position himself or herself in a place where they will have access to the children, such as a school teacher, a coach, a pastor, a deacon, a ministry worker, youth ministry worker. These people, a babysitter. You know, these people will position themselves into a place where they can have access to the children. And unfortunately, a parent, a mother or father, and a foster mother, a foster father. You know, these are things that we need to be aware of. The molester is not, I said it earlier, is not the stranger standing on the corner behind the tree with a newspaper waiting to flash you as you walk by. No, the molester is the person that you know, that you trust, that's in your family, that's in your church, that's in your neighborhood. They're not weird. They have education. I mean, they are weird because of what they do, but they don't look weird. They look normal. They're educated. They're religious. So we have to prevent molestation. And the one way the Lord has shown me is by talking about it, making sure people are educated, telling people to talk to their kids, telling people to, look, if you see somebody and you know they're a child molester, report that person. Report the person. You might not want to see that person go to jail, but would you rather see one person go to jail, or would you rather see 100 more little boys and little girls be molested?
I know that's right.
That's true.
You know, that's what we have to think of.
I kept my father away from my daughter. Once he got out, because my father went to jail, I kept my father away from my daughter, and I told him, you will not be around my daughter. And I tried as hard as I could when my niece was with me. I kept him away from my niece. But, you know, I got mad at my sister because she would allow her daughter to go around my father. And I'm like, you know what he looks for in children. And he even said it, like, he could pick out a child in a minute that he knew that he could molest.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be around that child a long time. It takes them a minute to figure out which child in that room is going to be more susceptible than others.
That's right.
Yes. Wow.
Because they're predators. That's what a predator does.
And that's what a predator does. They're molesters, they're pedophiles, they're predators. I'm going to try not to use the other P word, you know, because of, you know, but that's perverted. It's perverted. It's just perverted, you know. We have to call it what it is. You cannot.
Perverted.
Yeah. So I just thank God for you ladies, you know, coming on. I've been here. This is my third week, and I try to do a little information in the beginning, and then I gear into a word. But this is the first night. This is the first night that we really have had open dialogue about molestation. And I thank you, too, for helping me break the ground, you know. And Kimmy Poo, you, too, in the chat room. And we have another caller. But I thank God for Kimmy Poo, too. For helping me break ground. She's getting healing. You know, God is supernaturally healing you, Kimmy Poo. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Because we're talking, now the secret's out, and we're talking about this thing, and we're bringing it to the light. So God is doing some things. We want to pray for you, Kimmy, before we get off the air. We have a caller. Tina, you're on the air. God bless you. Welcome to the Destined for Victory broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor. This is a blessing. You're right. You actually are talking about molestation a lot tonight. And I remember as a child growing up in a neighborhood, there was this young lady with this older woman and her son. And I remember now, like as y'all were talking about it, I remember her telling the young girls in the neighborhood, you know, be careful around her son. And you think you're around 8 or 9 years old, you're wondering why he's saying that. And he used to try to entice us with, I have some candy for you. Can I take you to the store? And she will always say, you know, she's an older woman. If you come to my house and I'm not there, if you stop by just to say hi, don't come inside if it's my son. And then once my mother and my other relatives found out about him, they wouldn't let us around him. But it's just amazing sometimes the family knows, and he knew that something was wrong with her son. But he would just make the comment to us, don't be around him, but he would try. And so how many other children that he maybe actually went ahead and tried something with, we knew not to go around there. But it was in the neighborhood, and people would talk about it. Now, did anyone ever report it to the police if they saw something? I don't know, but it's just amazing that a lot of this is going on right in front of our eyes, and nobody's saying anything. That these children are being impacted by molestation or pedophiles. And even in the schools, growing up in the schools, you have teachers, sometimes you have coaches, and sometimes there are, for young ladies I've seen, the young ladies may think that it's okay for a male teacher to make comments towards her because she is pretty or the way she dressed or her body shape, but then it leads to something else. And then that person may feel as though, that one young lady may feel as though she's not going to say anything because she felt as though she was flirting with the teacher or the coach, but the teacher and the coach actually violated her. So it has to be a conversation that's in the school system. It has to be a conversation that's in the church. It got to be a conversation with your parents because it's happening. And sometimes in the church they don't want to talk about it, but we have a lot of, if you don't talk about it in the church, do you not realize that you have a lot of kids who already have experienced it in their homes, in the schools, in the streets? You have to give them an outlet of where they can come and talk about it. Somebody can't just continue to keep it as a secret, continue to keep it as a generational curse. My mother used to tell me growing up that certain things that used to happen in our family years ago used to be a secret. You know, you were not supposed to talk about it, and that's something that she never wanted for us. You want to talk about it. Something happened in your life, something you need to talk about, you share it, but it just can't be kept a secret. But that's how maybe my great-great-grandmother and my grandmother, they grew up, that you kept it a secret. They just dealt with it. But the impact for that child, you know, it's a lifetime. You just can't just keep it a secret and nobody talks about it like it's going to go away. Then you can't. So I thank you tonight, everyone who's calling and who's talking about it, and there's somebody that's listening, you know, they can start feeling as though they're not abnormal. It does happen, and God can.
Wow. You know, that's powerful. Thank you so much, Tina, for sharing that, because that's powerful. It's not the unusual. That's the shame of it all. It is happening, and as far back as we can remember, I mean, it goes all the way back to, wow, I mean, I guess we will go back to Tamar and her brother Amnon, where he molested her. You know, he raped her. He
right.
saw her, and he had this demon of lust, and he went ahead and had his way, and then he blamed her, said it was her fault that he did what he did. And that's what I want to make loud and clear tonight for anybody who's been molested. It's not your fault. You know, you're not crazy. You didn't ask for it. You were not too pretty, too cute, too fast. You were not a tease. It's not your fault. And you have to receive that tonight. You have to release yourself from the lies that the devil told you when that person molested you. It's not your fault. It is not your fault. And also the embarrassment. Evangelist Cynthia talked about the embarrassment and the shame and being told that you're a liar. You know, can you imagine what these young men are going through at Penn State? From the Second Chance, Second Mile, being told that they're liars, that this never happened to them. That is crazy. You know, and even, oh, my God, any child, any young person who's been molested, and then the person that did it will look you in your face and tell you that you're lying. You're experiencing so many different emotions there, betrayal, loss of trust, humiliation, you know, feeling like so small, feeling like nothing. Because they're looking at you, telling you that your reality is a lie. So, you know, Evangelist Cynthia and I both had sisters go home to an early grave, and because somebody looked at them and told them they were lying, when in fact they were telling the truth, and we both know that they were telling the truth. So another thing I'll say to you parents, if your child comes to you and tells you that somebody touched them or somebody showed them their private parts or tried to make them touch them or, you know, whatever, had sex with them, whatever, believe your child. Err on the behalf of protecting the child. Even if your child, why would a child make that up? I don't know. I don't know why a child would make that up. And that's why people will say, well, don't talk to your children about good touch and bad touch, because then they'll lie and say somebody touched them. Well, the devil is a liar. I don't believe that a child is just going to make that up just to be making it up. I just don't believe it. So unless an adult is on the other side of that, you know, putting lies in their child's head. But we have to do what we've done tonight, and that's talk about it, you know. And I want to ask, Pastor Sherry Jones, do you mind praying for
Kimmy, for Sister Kimmy. Amen. I want to open up for prayer. And anybody else that needs prayer, 646-652-4832. If you'll pray for Sister Kimmy. I was going to pray for Sister Bell, but I see she locked out. But if you would go ahead and pray for Kimmy, I just believe that you have an anointing that is going to destroy some yokes in her life on tonight. And we're going to just touch and agree with you as you pray.
Okay. Father, we thank you. First of all, we thank you for confession. We thank you for silence being broken. We thank you, God, for Kimmy opening up and desiring for the healing, God. We thank you that right now you are destroying every yoke, every chain, every bondage, every tearing down every wall, God, that you're removing the effects of the memories. You're removing the pain, Father, that you're cleansing her right now and restoring her, God. And you are causing her to right now be healed so much on the inside that she feels a breaking on the inside. And, Father, that the tears will begin to flow and just flood through her body, God, everything, and flush out everything, every residue that was left, oh God, from that invasion of her life. We thank you, God, for healing. We thank you for restoration. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that you are the breaker. You died on the cross. You are the breaker. You are the one who gives us breakthrough. And we thank you tonight for breakthrough for Kimmy. We thank you tonight for every person who's been on the line, God, everyone who has been listening, and those who are in their lives, that they now have a word in their mouth to give to them silent no more. No more of holding back. No more of keeping in secret. No more of sitting in shame and guilt and blame for things that they did not do but was done to them. And, God, that they can move to the place of forgiveness, God, so their healing would be complete. And we thank you, God, that you are so doing this work. We thank you for the vessel you're using to do this through, God. We thank you for many children who will be saved, many children who will be healed, many children who will not be touched, oh God, because of the word that's going out from this station tonight. So we give you glory, we give you praise, we thank you, God, and we see Kimmy in having healthy relationships. We see Kimmy having a relationship with a mature woman of God that would guide her and walk her through all the areas that she needs to walk through to total illness, healing, and wholeness right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for the ministry that you're going to give her. We thank you that because of her heart is so turned to protect children, God, that you will give her an anointing, Father, to minister to children in such a way, God, that healing will flow from her every word and every time they come into her presence because, God, she has been in your presence. And so we thank you tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for what you're doing. We're going to wait and listen for testimonies, God, of your healing power being displayed here tonight, even across phone lines. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. And Father, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad. And Lord, thank you for Evangelist Cynthia Anderson, oh God, and her calling in, oh Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will continue to heal her, even as she mourns the loss of her sister, oh God. I thank you, Lord, Father God, for restoring everything that the cankerworm has stolen, even in her life, Lord. And even as you have given her, Father God, the ability to forgive. Give, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for continually, Lord, to give her a heart to forgive her dad and her mom, even all those, Father God, who were involved in this family situation, oh God. And Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you will continually use her for your glory, even as she came in on tonight and ministered to the hearts of so many who are hurting, oh God.
Yes.
Continue to dry every tear, oh God. Catch them in your bottle and turn them into anointing, oh God. Anointed oil, oh God, that she will be able to comfort others with the same comfort with which she has been comforted, oh God. So Lord, just pray for her family, oh God. Pray for her children, oh God. Pray, Father God, that you will continue to keep a hedge of protection around them, oh Lord, and keep them safe from all harm, oh God. Even now, oh God, hold back the hand of any molesters, Father God, that will try to come and be predatory towards her family, oh God. We just hold back the hand of the molester from each and every person who is on this call, oh God, that not one of our children will be touched, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Keep our children safe, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Keep the children in our churches safe, the children in our families, the children in our neighborhoods, the children in our schools, oh God. Keep them safe, oh Lord, from the hand of the predator, the pervert, the pedophile, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for Sister Dell. We pray for Sister Dell tonight, oh God. Even now, Lord, we pray for her, Father God, and that you will even, Father God, watch over her son, oh God, even as he is away from home on this night, oh God, that you would keep him safe. Let your angels encamp about him, oh God. Guide him to a safe place, oh God. Oh Lord, send the ministers his way, oh God. Send ministering angels his way, oh God, that he would hear your word and your word would take root in his heart and spring forth, oh God, and bring forth fruit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord. You said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So we declare him safe. We declare him, Father God, whole. We declare him saved, oh God. We declare him, Father God, redeemed, oh God. We declare him, Father God, even whole, Father God. We declare his ears opened, oh God, so that he can hear, oh God, what it is that you have to say to him, oh God, in the natural and the spiritual ears, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We continue to knock on the door, Lord, even if we have prayed for him on last week. We continue to pray, oh God, knowing, Lord, that you don't mind us knocking. Don't mind us knocking, Father God, continually on the door through prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, and we know that you answer prayer. You said the grace, the peace of our children. So we pray for our child and her other sons right now in the name of Jesus. Give this mother comfort on tonight, God. Keep her heart, Father God. Father God, let her have peace, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Even as she surrenders him to you, oh God, let her, Father God, know that she can trust that you are watching over her seed. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we bless your name and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My God.
Thank you.
God is we serve an awesome God, ladies, and men who are listening. I want to say hello to JC Overcomers in the chat room. We serve an awesome God. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would repent and change his mind. And Jesus came so that we would have life and have that life more abundantly. And I know that he did not come for us to have to deal continually with this demon called molestation. So we're going to deal with this thing. And a lot of people are asking even now, Minister Evangelist Cynthia Robinson and Pastor Sherry Jones and Tina, how do we forgive? You know, we have this thing going on in our family. And I want each of you just to take a few minutes and help us to forgive. Help somebody to forgive tonight. And you can just jump right in and just help us to forgive. Pastor Sherry Jones and then Evangelist and then Tina, how do we forgive? Give us some help here in this area of forgiveness.
Well, I need to be honest at first. I need to be honest and say and when I say forgiveness, for sometimes it's a stage. It goes through stages. And the first stage is for me to be honest and say, God, I don't want to forgive this person. I've been hurt by them. But your word says I am to forgive. And I want to obey your word. And so, God, you on the inside of me need to help me forgive.
That's good.
You need to give me the power to forgive. So I say by your power, by your strength. Now, if I want to believe with the words, if I am crucified, that I reckon myself as dead, then I say I forgive that person for what they have done to me. And I release them. And if I have to go through another stage of that, God, I forgive them. I've forgiven them. And again, I bless them. I have mercy on them.
Mm.
Let your love rescue them. Let your love save them. Let your love, and I begin to pray for them and to bless them. And in that way, I begin to release myself from the hole that having unforgiveness is done. So I get it. It's like I get it off of me and give it to the Lord.
Wow. Wow.
I know that in my strength, I can't, you know, in the beginning stages, at my strength, I can't do it, but the Lord can do it through me. And why I say that, I'm reminded of Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp, and her sister was killed in that camp. Her whole family was. And she ran into the man who had injured her sister. And he said to her, "Can you forgive me?" And she said, she turned around, and she talked to God. And she said, "God, I can't, but you can through me." And she turned back around and said to him, "I forgive you."
Jesus.
So I know I can't do it on my own in the beginning stages, but God can do it through me.
Amen. 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 What you said there, I can't. She said, "I can't, but God can." As I was researching tonight, God showed me a scripture over in Matthew where Jesus, they lowered the man through the roof, and Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then They looked at him, "Who is this?" Because we all know that no one can forgive sins but God. And that is just so powerful right there. Who can, it says, I said Matthew, Luke, I'm looking at Luke 5:21. Pharisees the reason saying, "Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And what you just said is so powerful because we have God in us. And Paul talked about that. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace is not in vain because he works his power mightily through me."
Right.
So that's good. His grace. Through his grace. That's good. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Evangelist Cynthia Robinson, can you help us to forgive tonight?
I would say my sister first would be the person that helped me to learn how to forgive my father. She forgave my father, even though she never let go of the hurt. She forgave him, and I couldn't. For the longest time, even when my father got out of jail, I wouldn't speak to him. I wouldn't talk to him. Anytime he would try to talk to me, I would ignore him. And my sister said to me, "You're going to have to stop that. You know, I know what he did. He did it to me. But you're going to have to forgive him because he's still your father." And then the other person that said something, and at the time it didn't move me, but eventually it did, was actually my father. My father said, "You're supposed to be a Christian and you can't forgive me? What kind of God do you serve?" And at the time, it didn't move me because I was so stubborn. But as I began to see, it truly wasn't demonstrating Jesus at that moment. I was so angry at him for hurting my sister that I couldn't let it go. And so I had to learn to... It took time. It wasn't something that happened overnight. I didn't wake up one day and go, "Oh, I forgive my father." That's not what happened. But it took me almost 10 years, but I learned to forgive my father for what he did to my sister and how he destroyed our family, and learned that his sin is not my sin. It is not me. It is his. It's his to take to God and ask God to forgive him for it. It is his. It's not mine. I do not have to carry that burden. And for me, forgiving him and just forgiving myself for being so mad, I was free. I was free from all the shame, the embarrassment, the accusation. I was free from all that. That burden was off of me. I was free. And I tell anybody, if you want true freedom, forgive. Because that's where the freedom comes from. You got to forgive. Forgive yourself. for being mad at that person for so long. Forgive yourself. The freedom, that freedom that everybody's looking for, it comes from forgiveness. That's where that comes from. That's why they was, Jesus was so adamant about us learning to forgive one another, because there's freedom in it.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's so good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. As you were talking, I saw the attack that's been against your life. The attack that's been against your life from the devil has been, you don't have a reason to be angry, because it was not done to you. It was done to your sister. And I want you to know the devil's been lying to you. There was some anger that you had a right to own against your father.
My father physically abused me. He molested my sister, but he physically abused me. So, yeah, I had anger for that, too. I had anger.
Exactly. And not only that, but even without the physical abuse, he betrayed your trust. Here you had this father who could do no wrong. This was your hero, your daddy, you know.
Yeah.
And he betrayed your trust. He destroyed your family. He stole your innocence, because you had to deal with this grown-up issue in your life. And then put on top of that the physical abuse. So we have to identify the areas of our anger and then give them to God, you know, and let him help us to forgive. So you have to know you don't have to. Your anger, you had your own anger against him, like you said, and, you know, even more so mad that he could do something so drastically bad to your sister. That was, you know, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. So, but you know what, my sister, I thank God for your testimony that you have forgiven and that the Lord registered that in your heart, that you too went through your process. And he registered that in your heart, like, you know what, I am a Christian. And you said something so powerful, it releases me. I'm not going to be held in bondage because of this mess any longer. And that is so powerful. That helps me right there to know that I'm going to be free, because I'm going to forgive this person for the wrong he did against me. That's powerful. That's powerful right there, Evangelist Cynthia. That is powerful, that we are loose because we forgive ourselves for even carrying that as long as we did. Powerful. Amen. I have 4 minutes, and we still have Kimmy. We still have Tina Lane. Amen. Help us to forgive tonight. She must have us on mute. Maybe she's not here. Tina? Amen. Okay. Hallelujah.
Yes, I do have.
You have anything? You have anything on forgiveness that you could add to what Pastor Sherry Jones and Evangelist said already?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did have you on mute for a second because I'm with some other people. But in reference to what was the question you said, in reference to what they have said already on forgiveness?
How can we forgive? Yes. Is there anything on your heart about forgiveness?
Next slide to make
a You know what? I know you can't talk, so that's all right. You
good? Yeah, I can't talk right. I can't talk at the moment.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for being with us all tonight. I just appreciate you being here. They put it in a nutshell. I can't really add anything to what they both said. Other than to say that we have to forgive. We have to forgive, because by forgiving, we release ourselves from, and that's what Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, we release ourselves from the bondage. And Pastor Sherry talked about forgiveness by forgiving, that thing no longer has any power. There's true fit. Somebody said true freedom and forgiveness. So I think that was Evangelist Cynthia Robinson said, there's true freedom in forgiveness. So we have to forgive, and I just encourage you tonight, even in this last 2 minutes as I go off the air, you may have been molested, you may have been abused, you might have been rejected, betrayed, so many things, abandoned, raped, jilted, left at the altar, cheated on, lied to, talked about, put down, counted out,
whatever it is that has happened to you, do not allow that thing to hinder you from moving forward in victory, because you are truly destined for success. You know, things happen in your life, but like Joseph said, that thing that you meant for evil, God has turned it around for my good. And I know Joseph was saying, had I not been in the pit, had I not gone to prison, had I not been accused of rape in Potiphar's house, had I not suffered all of that time, I would never have been in the position that I am in today. Had I not been Egypt's slave, I would never have been the governor of Egypt. So let me let you know today that God is working in the middle of everything for your good. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going through, God's going to get the glory. So God bless you. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you. And it's not over until God says it's over. God bless you, Pastor Sherry. God bless you, Evangelist.
God bless you.
God bless you both. And God bless you, everybody in the chat room. I'll see you next week right here on the Destined for Victory broadcast. God bless you, Tina Lane. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Remember to smile. God bless you. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons signing out. Kirk Franklin, I smile. God bless you. I love you. Come back and see me again. I enjoy having you with me on tonight.
Amen.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? The love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Remember,
I almost gave up.
I can't
difficulty.
Right now.
Tears, dog, this is what I do. Oh, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I'm in it for a while,
still
I smile.
Hey.
Smile.
Hallelujah.
You know how to look up when you get down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give them down.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile. Oh, oh, oh.
Tell us.
You look so much better when you smile.
New Orleans.
You
you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.